Welcome to the April 11th, 2014 Jubilize Me podcast. Jubilize Me. Hello, everybody. This is Addison Berry, and I'm your hostess for today's podcast. And I have three Twin Cityers. Is that a word? Can you say that? Twin Cityers? I don't know. Anyway, I have three people from the Twin Cities area, Minnesota, who are very involved in the Drupal community there. So I have with me Barry Mador.
Hello.
And Tim Erickson.
Hi.
And Joe Schindler.
Hello.
And what the reason I have these guys here with me is because in Minneapolis, there was a Twin Cities Drupal open house. It says Minneapolis in my document. We just had a whole Twin Cities conversation. It was an unconference called TC Dole. So on this episode, what we wanted to talk about was why they had the unconference, as say compared to the Drupal camp, which Twin Cities is very well known for their great camps that they have. And what actually happened? Like, how did the event come together? Was it successful? What does that have to say about what we could do for Drupal events in other places? So that's what we're going to talk about. But of course, before we do that, I have to do news and events. Just in from the Eagle. Videos. We've just finished up the services series that Joe was in. And next week, we have a new series coming out on Vagrant, how to set up Vagrant stuff so you can have different environments for working on your dev stuff. So that'll be coming out next Wednesday. And also, just recently, last week, I believe, DrupalCon sessions were announced. So you can actually go to the DrupalCon Austin website and see what all is going to be going on. And I know there's a whole bunch of Lullabots that have gotten their sessions accepted. I don't have a list in front of me. Joe, you have a core conversation, is it?
No, not a core conversation, but I do have a session that was accepted.
Okay.
So I will be there and talking about forms in Drupal 8.
Ah, cool. Okay. I think Emma is the one who had a core conversation,
I think. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, there'll be lots of people there. You should go. But go look at the stuff that's going on. Related to that also, we also got a workshop accepted for June 2nd called Breaking Down Component-Based Web Design. Basically looking at responsive web and how do you break things up and put all of that stuff together and have it make sense, sort of doing modern web stuff and theming with Drupal. So that's going to be on June 2nd, which is the Monday before the actual DrupalCon, which is June 3rd through 5th. And then there's a sprint day on June 6th. So make sure you stay for the extra days to get your stuff done. Also sort of related to that and related to Minneapolis, next Tuesday, April 15th, there's going to be a half-day version of the workshop at Mini WebCon. So if you are in the Twin Cities area, you should go check out Mini WebCon just to begin with. And if you are interested in getting a taste of the component-based web design course, there's a half-day workshop there. So you can check that stuff out. This weekend is the NICE Camp, New York City. It's having their camp this weekend. And Lullabot's a community sponsor there. And there's a Drupalize Me giveaway. We're giving away a membership. So I actually don't know the details of this right now. But if you're there, you'll hear about it. And then in April, man, there's like so much stuff happening this month. So I'm going to go quickly through these. April 23rd through 25th, Drupal Camp Mexico in Mexico City. We are silver sponsors there, and Wampi is going to be a featured speaker, so that's pretty awesome. April 25th through 27th is Drupal Camp Donetsk in Ukraine. And we are a silver sponsor there. I really hope that we have an amazing camp. For those of you who pay attention to world events, Ukraine has been having a lot of stuff going on. So I'm really excited that they are still going forward with this camp, and I wish them a really great time. April 25th and 26th is Lone Star PHP, which is in Addison, Texas. You know, Addison. It's a great name. You know, it's a suburb outside of Dallas, but it's in Addison. So you should all remember that. And Emma's going to be speaking there. And then at the beginning of May, May 1st through 3rd, is Converge SE for Southeast in Columbia, South Carolina, which is like a big web event with a lot of really great names and really fun, interesting people. And Jared Ponchot is going to be speaking at that event. And then, because we're talking about Twin Cities, there is the Twin Cities, the famed Twin Cities Camp for 2014 is going to be in August. So August 7th through 10th. Is that like set in stone, guys?
Yep.
Sweet. I love it when stuff's set in stone, like well in advance. So all this Twin Cities stuff, there's lots of stuff going on in Twin Cities. I should get back and visit there sometime.
You should too.
Yeah. Okay, so that's announcement-y stuff. Sorry, but there's a lot going on. It's like spring conference time or something. But let's get down to talking about an unconference, because TC, it's just fun to say, everybody, come on. It was an unconference instead of like doing the big camp thing. So before we even dive into what you guys did in Twin Cities per se, can someone tell me what is an unconference? Like, how is that different from a conference?
Sure. This is Tim, and I think that the story about how unconferences developed was from folks who were coming back from conferences and realizing that a lot of the best conversations and topics and things, the most productive discussions they had, were taking place at the water cooler in the hallways between sessions, and started looking at ways to how could they build an entire conference around those kinds of discussions. And both Barry and I have had something of a background in facilitation, so we've been at trainings where they've talked about these kinds of formats and how to put them on. In the technology world, I think they've popped up. I first saw them in the form of bar camps. Other camps have come up that use that as well. But the basic idea is that you arrive in the morning without a real clear agenda for the day. That you put your work into getting a good venue, getting the right people there, and then you just sort of let the people develop the agenda once you're there. And it sounds all unstructured, but there's a lot of preparation and stuff that goes into making it work.
So let's talk a little bit about that preparation work, and like, you decided you were going to do this. First of all, I guess, why did you decide to do an unconference when you guys already have a really successful camp that happens? And then how did you go about actually getting that done?
Well, Barry, go ahead.
Well, I'll start off. The main reason, I think, or the original impetus for this was the fact that our camps are really successful, and the community gets energized around talking about Drupal and learning from each other. And then it's another whole year before we have that intensive experience again. And there's lots of people in the local community that can't afford or don't have the wherewithal to get to Drupal cons or to other Drupal camps that are held elsewhere in the country or internationally. So we wanted to do an event in between the camps that could serve the needs of the local communities, of the local community. So we decided first that we were going to do an event. And then the other part of it was that we felt that there was a segment of the community and ideas and things that people wanted to discuss that weren't served well by the traditional camp format of speakers and sessions primarily. And so we wanted to do something a little bit different that would serve parts of the community or invite parts of the community that were not getting what they need out of the traditional camp format. So we settled on sort of the un-camp or the un-conference idea, and then we began refining that. Tim, do you have anything to add about that?
Well, I just say I think both Barry and I had talked about we both had an interest in this kind of a format, and we found it, you know, putting together a camp the size of the Twin Cities camp involves a lot of things, and, you know, we've got sessions and keynotes and sprints and all of that. And in the past, where there's been some discussion about trying to, like, for example, I think BOF sessions, Birds of a Feather, often don't work real well at the camp setting because they just don't get the attention they need. And we just, in the planning for the camp, never really had the time to focus on that. And so this was an opportunity to, outside the planning for the camp, to really focus on a different kind of a session and a different kind of structure than we're able to do at the camp. And I think, you know, we have the secret agenda of hoping that we'll learn some things that we can bring back and use when we're, you know, at the camp next year or this summer.
Yeah, fair enough. But
I thought it was just because we wanted something to do on a cold Saturday afternoon.
Party!
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of it. Sure, the socialization aspect is certainly important.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier, just having more opportunities to have Drupal events in our community, and we were feeling a need for that, and this was one way to deal with it.
Right.
So when I was reading about the unconference and stuff, you guys had talked about using the principles of open space technology. And so I'm curious, it sounded like a really interesting approach. Like, I haven't really seen people talking about, like, the details of, like, those kinds of concepts. I've always heard of unconference. You put up a board and people put stickies on the board and stuff happens. So I'm really curious about, like, the approach that you guys used for coming up with how to organized and unorganized conference.
I just wanted to chime in quick first and say that I kind of had a similar attitude to you, Addy, where I went to this kind of being, I was skeptical, and I had been to unconferences before, and it was very much like, oh, there's a whiteboard and maybe people put stuff on it and maybe they didn't. But I thought I would go and give it a try anyways. And I ended up being totally blown away by how well the event came together. And I really think a lot of that boiled down to there being an attention to the organization of it. And I think a lot of people think of an unconference as being just something that you just kind of show up and it happens. But the truth is there's actually a lot of work that goes into making chaos happen.
Controlled chaos.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, so open space is has and I'm not a good historian of the whole open space concept, but it's developed over a number of years from the concept that when you bring people together, things can happen, and if you impose too much order on something, then the serendipities of chaos are lost, and potentially what the people that arrive, what they need to get out of an event may not happen. That's my distillation of it. And so it really is just a set of principles. There's really nothing beyond that. A bunch of people have added practice to it. It's kind of like Agile. You know, it's a concept that then people added a whole bunch of systems to. So we just took the principles that have arrived around the open space technology concept, and that was our framework for the day. And then and we can list those or talk about those. But then on top of that, like Joe mentioned, we spent a lot of time thinking about how large of a group is going to show up. Who might they be? And how can we do some at least light facilitation or structuring to encourage the types of conversations and discussions that those people may not even know that they're arriving to have those happen and help it move to something that's valuable for everybody that's there, not just so that everybody there can get what they need out of it. So the principles of the open space technology lend the environment for that, and then the facilitation ideas that we came up with helped spark those discussions and give it what it needed to move ahead.
I think a real important concept here is that, well, this is kind of a somewhat unstructured event. It's a highly facilitated event, and both Barry and I, fortunately, have had the opportunity to go through at least informal training on managing an event like this, which I think is really helpful. A lot of people go to an event like this and think, oh, that looks really easy. I could do it, you know, and they just schedule a venue and don't put a lot of the thought behind it. There's an organization called the National Coalition for Dialogue and Deliberation, and I've been to a number of their national conferences where I've been exposed to these ideas. And that certainly helped me a lot. And Barry, what you went through the Art of Hosting training, was it?
Yeah, I did the art of hosting training, which and as part of a creative cultural development fellowship that I was involved in over a couple of years here in the Twin Cities.
So, how did the day actually go? Like, what was the? Yeah, I'm just curious. You know, I mean, because like I said, there's going to be a whiteboard and people with stickies on it. But like, what is the actual facilitation? Like, how did you guys? Like when people showed up, if I showed up, like what would happen? What did I do? I didn't go, so I didn't do it. But I would like to know what my imaginary self would have done.
Well, the first thing we did is when people showed up, we had all the chairs in a big circle, and that scared a few people right away. But to just sort of help set that atmosphere. In addition, in preparation for this, we did at the like just that previous Wednesday, we'd had a Drupal users group. So we sat down with a group of sort of the real regulars and core volunteers, and we'd talk through with them the process so that when they arrived, they could help sort of model and answer people's questions. Once people got there, we started with an introductory session where we described what was going to happen that day. And we really talked about sort of the rules and principles of an unconference. And I think one of the mistakes that often happens in these events is people kind of skip over that stage of really setting the tone and describing the rules and explaining them to people in a way that really makes them comfortable and gives them permission to sort of break out of the regular camp type mold. We got going a little bit late because people showed up. It was a Saturday morning and a cold day, and people showed up a little bit late. So we got going a little bit late, but then, and I don't know, we spent about an hour really just introducing the whole concept of and going over the course of the day. Was that about right, Barry?
Yeah. I think the circle is an extremely important idea to start with in one of these situations. And what we did not do, I think, is even more important. We did not do an around the room, which if anybody has been to a BOF session or two knows that sometimes that can really kill discussion because you spend so much time talking about yourself or just introducing each other. So we didn't do that. Normally what we would do in a session like this or in a circle would be some sort of activity by way of you know, breaking the ice and getting people to introduce each other and not be too, you don't need to be too hippy-dippy about it, but there are some things that you can do. We did it more by way of discussing and answering questions about how the day was going to proceed and trying to get everybody acclimated to something that most people, I think, had never been involved in this type of an event before.
How many people showed up for the event, too?
We were just south of 50, weren't we?
Yeah, we had 50 people register, but it was, you know, not quite that many were there. What was really encouraging, though, was we had as many people there at the end of the day as we did at the beginning of the day. Mm-hmm. Although they weren't the same people. Some people came late and a few left
right.
early. But,
yeah,
but for the most part, we had a pretty stable group for the day, all day.
Nice. Yeah, that's a big circle.
It was a big circle, we got through that. And then I think what really helped the rest of the day go well, because people were still at the end of the circle, we dove right into a structured activity called ProAction Cafe. And the beginning of that process was to solicit from the people that were there what their burning questions were. We talked about the ProAction Cafe, which is a structured activity where people get broken up into six-person groups or, you know, 6 to 8 people, and each table has a person who is the host of the table and has a question or an idea that they want feedback on and want to, you know, move from their question or their idea to some action steps at the end. That's the general format of this activity. And what we were trying to do is we were going to dive right into that, was to get people that were willing to be table hosts, people that had things that they wanted to talk about. So we had a, as part of that 1 hour, I would say about 15 minutes of that was, hey, does anybody have a question? Would anybody like to step up? Would anybody like to basically have 30 or 40 people in small rounds give you feedback and help you brainstorm through your question or idea? Out of that, we did get those table hosts, and we went right into that activity. And what was great about that, at least from my perspective, was there were several people in the room, at least several people in the room, that were completely new to Drupal. This was their first Drupal event and their first time meeting almost everybody in the room, and they stepped up to be table hosts mm-hmm. right away, something that I think would not have happened. They were people that never would have submitted a session to a camp or a con, for instance, but were immediately able to spend more than an hour getting feedback and next step ideas from the collective wisdom of the room.
Nice.
The first table that I sat down at during that event, the guy had his question was brand new to Drupal. You know, this was his first event, and the question was basically like, "So how do I learn Drupal?" and I kind of was like, "Well, okay, here we go." it ended up being awesome to just kind of. Like, I wasn't hosting the table. I wasn't responsible for anything, but I had a lot of input on that particular topic. And so I was able to sit down and share, like, you know, this is what I know about this, and this is where I would start. And to be limited to only talking about it for like 10 minutes, because then the bell rang and I had to go somewhere else. But I also felt that we didn't do the around the circle, everybody introduced themselves, but the cafe thing of moving from table to table was a great opportunity to meet a bunch of people too, because you sat down at each table for like, you know, roughly 10 minutes or so, and you got to know everybody's name, and just by listening to the conversation you got to know a little bit about them really quickly, and I liked that a lot.
I think that guy that you're talking about, he had not only was new to Drupal, but had like just heard about Drupal 3 days before or something.
Yeah, it was like brand new. Like, what is a Drupal? Oh, okay.
There's a table for pronunciation right over here.
Yeah, and then there was another table where the question for the table was, essentially, I work at a nonprofit organization and I like Drupal, but I'm having trouble convincing the organization to adapt Drupal. How would you recommend I go about doing that? And then there was one about, there were a bunch of them. Those are the two that stick out in my head.
Another one was a woman came, and she's involved in training youth at a local media organization, the St. Paul Neighborhood Network, which is the offshoot of the local cable television station. And so she teaches youth media and wants to incorporate CMS into the work that they're doing, and feels that Drupal is the right choice. I was wondering, how do you incorporate Drupal in working with youth, and how do we train them? How do we, you know, what can we do with websites? And I know she left with about 5 sheets of flip chart paper filled with ideas. So I'm looking forward to that. So those are the types of things that I think those ideas and concepts that, you know, somebody can come into a camp thinking, my agenda for today is to learn how do I learn Drupal, and go to sessions and glean some things. But to be able to actually sit down and have somebody like Joe talk to you for 10 minutes and 4 or 5 other people, and then have 4 or 5 more people come in and build upon that and have an hour and a half, and then through the rest of the day be able to build those conversations through the other activities that are happening, I think leads to a much richer experience. And I think Joe can testify to this. It was not any less rich for him in that interaction as well.
I found it to be a really kind of like the activity at the beginning was almost like a warm up, right? Like before you play the piano, you sit down and run scales for a while to make sure your fingers are warm and ready to go. And I felt like I moved around all these tables and I started talking about Drupal stuff, not necessarily what I had anticipated talking about when I showed up that day. But it was really just kind of like got my mind going and thinking about like, oh yeah, this is where my head is right now and what I'm interested in talking about. And so when we moved on to other events, I already had in my head like, okay, I need to make sure I find someone to talk to this about. Or if the opportunity comes up, I need to make sure that I go and talk about Drush because, oh man, I'm really excited about that right now, or whatever the case may be.
So after that, there were other activities. Was the whole day like a series of activities? Or like how did the rest of the day flow?
Well, that was, so we had the introduction for about an hour, and then we did the Pro Action Cafe for about 90 minutes. I think that took us to about 11:30, and really from like 11:30 to 4, I want to say, between that, we got in four 50-minute time blocks. And this is what you'd probably normally think of it when you think about a bar camp or an unconference, where we just had a board up on the wall with one of the things is this all took place kind of in a big open space. So rather than people going off to different rooms, sort of away from each other, we had tables scattered around kind of a big open space. Actually, we should say we had a really great venue. It's a place called Intermedia Arts, and it's also an art studio or a gallery.
Gallery.
There's two local Drupal shops that each do co-working out of that space. But it's a very, it was a particularly good venue for this kind of event. So anyways, then you have the traditional map where you have different locations mapped out, and then you've got four or five time slots. And basically you ask people to step up and propose a session and say, okay, I'll be at area two from 12 to 1. Come and talk to me about that. And other people propose something at 1 o'clock in area one, and the schedule filled up pretty quickly. Not completely full, but we had a good, robust schedule. And then the final event of the day was really just kind of a wrap-up, about a half-an-hour wrap-up.
And to Joe's point, that opening session really got people brimming with ideas. Mm-hmm. And there were a few people that had proposed things for it to be a table host, where the questions really didn't really fit that format of guided discussion or intense mm-hmm. discussion. And so we immediately put those next to the board, and after the Pro Action Cafe, those people took their sticky and put it on a session so that they could then go and spend one of those blocks with a group of people talking about that. We had several spaces that had, we had two spaces that had projectors, so if somebody actually really wanted to do a show and tell or a case study, or wanted to guide people through something, that was possible as well. But mostly it was tables set around for discussion spaces.
Nice.
And we covered all the tables with butcher paper to encourage writing. And we
doodling had sticky, and yeah.
Exactly, and sticky paper so that you could put up a flip chart and actually take notes or put down points. And those were heavily used, and I highly recommend having lots of that kind of stuff around if you want to do this.
Yeah, that part was awesome. I took my laptop out once during the entire day, which normally at a conference I have it in my lap like the whole time. And it was like I just kept drawing little diagrams on a piece of paper. It even's like, oh, here's the URL for the thing you want. I just wrote it on it. You can't even click it. But yeah, here you go. It was great.
So speaking of other people doing this, like you guys have, as you mentioned, some experience and had sort of this idea and a plan. So for others who are interested in trying to do this kind of a thing in their hometown or whatever, like how would you recommend someone go about figuring this stuff out?
Well, I think there's a lot of good online resources that you can look up about how to facilitate this, and I would just strongly encourage folks not to sort of neglect the details or the theory behind it, and to pay attention to that, and ideally, even if there isn't anybody in the Drupal community locally, there's going to be somebody locally who's had experience with these kind of events. And at very minimum, just sit down and talk to them about what you're planning and get their input and ideas. I think that would be a really good place to start.
Yeah, I would definitely second the, if you have an opportunity to attend another open mm-hmm. conference like this or an unconference really, that you should do that if you're thinking about facilitating your own. Because, for me, that was a really eye-opening. Everybody talks about these, principles of an unconference, whoever comes is the right people, whatever happens is the right thing to happen. And again, until you kind of witness it in action, it's hard to really understand what that means. But to then have seen it happen, I kind of have a better idea of like, okay, if I was to do this again in the future, I have a baseline for what I, you know, anticipate the mood to be like, and how I can kind of judge whether or not it's being successful based on my experience from attending one that I felt was successful.
What would you say was the preparation load, particularly compared to, say, running like the full regular TC Drupal camp?
It was a lot lighter, and that was one of the reasons that we wanted to do an unconference event. So we didn't have to arrange for speakers and put together a schedule and review proposals. All of those things were taken off of the list of things that needed to be done. And what needed to be done was much more containable. And I think we did the heaviest amount of stuff between the Wednesday and Saturday of that week. We were getting the flip charts, and we couldn't even get into the space to arrange it for the day until the morning of. So it was, you know, an hour of putting tables out. So mostly it was getting the other things you do have to take care of in advance. You know, getting a venue, preparing for if you're going to be there all day. You can do short ones as well, but we were doing an entire day. So you got to have food, arrange for food, decide whether you need to charge for this event to help cover your expenses. So there's some of that logistical stuff you do need to do, but it should be a lot less heavy of an organizing job than a camp. With a camp, you have to have a very specific kind of venue and a certain number of rooms and, you know, recording equipment and projectors and all of that. You can kind of tailor your unconference to what you do have available to you. Find a space that the format that you're looking at needs. But once you get that, the organizing is just figuring out how to structure your day based on the type of space that you have and the type of time that you have. So it's mostly a lot of thinking and less of heavy logistical and planning around people, because it really is whoever shows up, they are going to make that day happen. It's not making sure that you have, you know, the 50 very specific people show up and that they're all prepared to do what they need to do.
We decided up front that we had a venue in mind, and we knew if we had that venue, that, you know, that was going to take a big load off of us, because we just start from that point. At Drupal Camp, it seems like in some years where we haven't had a venue, it's like the first 2 or 3 months is just trying to find a venue.
Stressing out about that.
Right, and so we kind of said, you know, if we can do it at this space, then we'll do it. If we can't, we probably won't have the bandwidth to do this. We also said we're not going to stress about things like a website and stuff. We just used Eventbrite. So we sort of set those two decisions up front. If we've got a venue, and it was one of the delays in getting this to happen was waiting for confirmation we could get the venue. Once we had that, it was less, you know, once we actually got the okay for the venue, it was less than a month of planning. And I think the bulk of the planning was really promoting the event and trying to get people there.
It's funny, we spend all this time planning for our Drupal camp, which we're working on now, and it's like, okay, we got to put all of this work into finding a place where we can have a drink after the camp on Saturday night and make sure that it's all set up. And oh man, it's a ton of work. And then for this one, it was like, well, we're going to have a drink afterwards for sure, but we'll figure it out when we figure it out. And it was totally like the unconference after party. It's like, well, let's go to this place. And we all went there, and then I was like, well, it's full, so let's go to this place instead. And I was like, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
The unconference unparty.
Yes.
So now that you guys did this event, and you do still have the camp, and you're doing the regular camp as well, I'm curious about what you learned from, or ideas and just general thoughts about carrying forward, either both, that's not a good sentence, Addie, either to the camp or to another unconference happening at some point.
Sure. Well, I think the idea of having sort of a between camps mini event seemed to go over really well, and so we definitely, I think there will be interest in doing this again in the Twin Cities. I think there was also some interest in terms of what can we learn from this in terms of helping, you know, shape our camp around the edges. I don't think we'll be revamping anything. You know, any major overhaul of our camp based on this, but we might, hopefully we can take some of the lessons, for example, and maybe get the BOF sessions to work a little bit better this year than they have in the past. And I know Barry and I have talked about you know, if there were opportunities to do the, I mean, one of the things I think this kind of event would work well in is in some smaller communities where there isn't quite the population to support a large camp. And I'd be interested in talking to folks in some of the, you know, like Rochester or Duluth, Minnesota, about maybe a smaller open house kind of an event that they could have locally. Anyways, Barry, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think that the other thing that I think would be interesting to try would be a focused open house, maybe less open, maybe around a particular topic. If the community, if the local community things are bubbling up around a particular topic or a particular problem or idea, some of the facilitation techniques that, that we used and the whole format would work well to maybe focus in on one particular thing. So I have a themed open house, but looking at ideas for doing multiple of these and have them specifically set up to address what's bubbling up in the community, whether it's our community or another community. So that's something I'm interested in looking at, or at least having part of an open house be more focused than what we did.
That's an interesting idea, especially with, you know, we've got this camp, which is pretty successful, but it's also, it's really broad. Like we try to make sure that there's content for everyone. And you end up with all kinds of different topics at different levels and some successful, some not. But it's a great opportunity for us to kind of keep an eye on what are the things that our community is talking about and interested in, and maybe have that help inform, you know, if you do another open house type of event, what were the things that people talked about a lot at the camp but didn't really feel like they were able to resolve maybe and want to continue the discussion about?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's cool. It's interesting. I find, like, in terms of, like, the overall community event thing, you know, DrupalCons have gotten really big and, you know, there's, like, there's these different levels of events that, that happen. Like, there's meetups. And before, it used to kind of be meetups and DrupalCons way back, right? And then, but it was like, oh, DrupalCon, who can go to DrupalCon all the time? And they got to be huge events. And then camps just, you know, blossomed everywhere. And so there's, like, sort of these, like, you know, regional events that are happening. And it's, like, it's interesting to see this sort of within a community. You know, there's the meetups, there's the unconference, there's the camp, like even just within this like Twin Cities area, and that there's just sort of the different levels to keep addressing sort of these different spaces that people want to navigate in. It's fascinating to me. And I think it's really cool. I mean, the other thing I really love about these kinds of ideas is I think people who are trying to start their own communities or grow their communities or just serve their community in some way often kind of feel like they have to jump to having a camp, which can be a huge amount of overhead for people. And so I love the idea of other ways of approaching this and just sort of thinking about what the community needs and has and can use and putting that to work instead of kind of imposing this like, well, this is how you're supposed to do it. but it's like, well, no, this is what our community needs, which is a different thing. So really awesome stuff. But yeah, so I want to wrap up the podcast, but it's just really fascinating and I really hope to see more conversations about this. Are you guys both going to DrupalCon Austin?
Yes.
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. Because I'm sure that people will want to have some conversations there about this as well.
Well, look us up. We'll be there.
Awesome. Well, so do you guys have any other parting thoughts or stuff that shout out you wanted to get in or anything like that before I cut you off?
Well, I'd just like to say something about how this fits into the overall Twin Cities Drupal sort of scene, because part of what came out of this too is that we've got a monthly, you know, meetup, we've got a monthly coder night, we have a monthly happy hour, we have our annual camp. And we've been trying to think about how to get more organized as a group, or whether we want to be more organized. And I think part of the goal for an event like this, it's hard to address those kinds of sort of internal questions at a camp. You're really focused on other things. And an event like this really, I don't think we got as deep as I thought we might, but we certainly sort of touched around it. One of the discussions that came out of it was putting together some kind of a Drupal directory or a directory of local, you know, Drupal folks and what kind of work they're doing. And there were a few real practical questions about how we're organizing our community that came out of that. And that's an important discussion that we've been having lately. So it worked well for that. That was my final thought.
Barry, Joe,
I'm good. I think we've touched a lot of the things that your summary, Edison, was perfect. It's exactly the type of excitement that I have in watching a community help itself and figure out what it needs and find ways of addressing it. And the Twin Cities community has always been generous and creative and willing to jump into new ideas and new things. And that's why I keep doing this and why it continues to be exciting to me. And I think other communities have that energy, and just having something, an event like this, or starting to think about like this could really find that out for themselves, find that energy is there, and just kind of figure out how to corral it or harness it or make it work for them. So I would encourage people to start thinking about and doing these things. And I think any of us that participate in this, not just the people that help facilitate it, would be willing to talk to people about it.
Awesome.
And I think for me, like Barry is talking about the energy of the event. And one of the things that was awesome was I came away from that event feeling very energized, both just about Drupal and our local community and, you know, the governance stuff that we'd been talking about, and excited to see that moving forward. And so I just wanted to say kudos to Tim and Barry for like recognizing the need for an event like this and putting it together and making it be awesome. And I encourage anyone who's interested in doing an event like this to talk to these guys, because they did a good job.
Thank
you.
Kudos.
Thanks. Yay.
Group hug.
Aww. We can do that at happy hour tonight.
Yeah, you guys have your happy hour. I won't be there. Okay. Yeah, well, awesome. Yeah, and I think this is really a really wonderful idea. And I've not done so much here in Copenhagen. I did some stuff initially when I first moved here, but I just haven't had the part of it is that I travel so much. I'm not even really here very much, but just sort of the mental energy. But this is like a really, I don't know, this thing is just sounds like a really interesting way to approach it, and doing the unconference, but actually in a successful way. I mean, I know there are lots of successful unconferences. Running an unconference always sounds scattershot to me. Mm-hmm. So this just, this really sounds awesome. So thanks for coming on the podcast and sharing. Thanks for doing the event to begin with. And hopefully we will see more of this happening around our communities. So thank you guys very much for coming on the podcast. Thank you, dear listeners, for joining us on this journey. And if you have questions about this podcast in particular, you can leave comments on the podcast page. But you can also get to us through various social media. Twitter is twitter.com/DrupalizeMe. Facebook.com/DrupalizeMe. We also have our contact form on our site, drupalize.me/contact. Let us know if you have questions or thoughts or you want to get more information. I'm sure that we can hook you up with that information. We will have lots of links in the podcast notes. So if you want to go check out a lot of these things we're talking about, that'll be there. And if you have ideas or thoughts for other podcasts that you would like to hear, let us know. Drop us a line. Until next time, happy Drupaling!